Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 325 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Well, buddy,
I
say that every single time. Listen, people, here we never do this up front. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators and help support the show. It is much appreciated, and you get some super dope stuff in the process. And, you know, Cruiser has been streaming. He has this YouTube channel called The Bad Motivators, but it's really just him. I'm not on it, which is crap. But
as of right now,
I stream on Twitch a lot. Those links are in the show description. Be sure to check them out. There's some cool merch too, man. Listen, if you're going to go see Taylor Swift, you need to get a Taylor Sith t-shirt, because I'm telling you what, it'll generate some heat if they see some of those in the crowd at several cities. I'm just telling you. Because I guarantee you, they take a picture of every single person walking in. I guarantee you they do. And, you know, follow the show on Twitter, @bad_motivators, if you want. And I'll still mention this all at the end again, but who cares? Because here we are, ready to talk. Now listen. I know we used to be a Star Wars podcast.
Yes.
But May the 4th was last week. So my God, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff to talk about. And we're going to talk about it in just a little bit. But the first thing I want to ask, Mr. Cruiser, is how are things?
Things are good, followed by, all right.
You know, it's the little things. I'll take it. Well,
I mean, you know, previously we were discussing the wonders of home maintenance and the cost of such things. And you're talking about how you got a sweet, sweet deal. I did not get such a sweet, sweet deal. Like, I got a sweet, sweet deal compared as what the salesman said I did. But, you know, that's how, you know, salesmen are.
That's what they always tell you. And then they tell you how you're their best friend, too.
Exactly. We're best friends. You know, how are your kids and the wife?
We have so many things in common. You have kids. I have kids. I breathe in oxygen and convert it to carbon dioxide. And so do you.
This thing's going to be the best thing since ever that ever happened to anything. This thing you're going to buy because you need it. Me and the wife spent a shit ton of money on a new system in the house, the HVA system. It was pretty awesome. And I will say, it feels better in here. I will say that. I was saying a little bit ago before we started, my son playing baseball, right? I'm not going to go went into it, but they played this team today and they beat them 16-0. And these poor kids, I feel so bad for them because, like, you know, on one thing, it's little kids, right? And so they're out there just having fun being kids, right? You know? But it's still like, you're just like, man, like, why don't we get one run? It's like, they got something done. And my son wasn't having it, I'll tell you that much. He was being a night, but he made this freaking all-star play at third base that is this game. And it was awesome. He caught the ball and like drilled it to the first baseman, which is always a success. Even better whenever the first baseman can actually catch the balls. 8-year-olds, it's pretty awesome.
You have to wait until they're about 13 before they become competent ball handlers.
Zinga. And then they can't stop being competent ball handers.
That's all they do.
You know, once you figure out what that thing does, it's over. Life as itself is over. I want to do this really quick. He had a line drive, like probably the hardest ball he hit since he played baseball, right at their third baseman, like right at like eye level. And I was like, oh man, this is either going to kill this kid or it's going to fly by his head, one or the other. And did not think he would catch it. And this kid, like, he was shocked. He caught it too. Like this heater right at him. He's like, oh, and me and my wife were like, oh my God, he caught it. And then like Max looked at me and I was like smiling, like out of like this like shock, you know? And like he looked at me and you would have thought I had stabbed him in the heart and dragged it out of his body because I was smiling at his
should have been. You betrayed him.
Yeah, I know. He came in the dugout and he goes, why are you laughing? I said, I wasn't laughing. He was like, I saw you smiling. And when I see people smiling, I think they're laughing. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to kill me in my sleep. But we had a discussion and he's okay now. But how are things with you?
While we're talking about baseball, I know you're thinking, oh, here we go. But seriously, I got to go on a field trip with the third graders, my son's class. I was a chaperone. Nice. And we went and toured Busch Stadium.
Nice. How is that stadium? I always wanted to go. How is it?
It's really neat. And this is the third Busch Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in the last one, and in this one, I was not in the first one. But it's cool, man. And I got to see like the broadcast booth where they, you know, it's cool. It's really cool. And I got
state of the art everything.
Well, the first thing I did was go look at their audio rig. I'm like, pardon me, excuse me.
Excuse me, coming through.
And I'm looking at their big decoder rig on there. Yeah. And I also found out what the password is for the press box, for the Wi-Fi. So the next time I'm there, I'm going to use the good Wi-Fi instead of the guest Wi-Fi. They have it on this big piece of paper stuck on the printer. And I'm like, yes, yes.
Redbird 123.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's actual words.
Of course.
With a dollar sign as an S at the end.
Oh, well, that foils everybody, don't you know?
That threw him off. That's your special character. So anyhow, you're going to need one special character. We've got Fredbird. No. I mean, in your password.
How the hell? But I just, this is why people like, they had these cybersecurity breakdowns is a multi-billion-dollar franchise has a weak link of a actual worded Wi-Fi password to their main system, and
well, it's probably not really. There's probably not a whole lot of access past. Yeah, that, you know what
but
I mean.
But it's an entry point. That's what I'm saying. Like it's a point of entry that allows them to find other weaknesses is what I mean.
That's true. Like, if they could somehow manage to beat the firewall down.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's getting super nerdy, but it was cool, man. And I'm going to tell you something. And I know I've talked about how like the culture that they've built at my kid's school, as far as like kindness goes, there's really something to be said for this. So listen, I'll tell you a quick story. We were at the top floor of the inner parts of the stadium. We had just come out of the clubhouse, one of the clubs, you know, where you can have the box seats right outside and all this stuff. And it's the biggest one in all of Major League Baseball. It holds like 3,000 people,
of course,
in this thing. We come out and there's the escalator. What's that?
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a bar.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah, this holds the 3,000 people, and I'm like, I could not imagine being in here with 3,000 people. That would be the worst day of my life.
Were you like, did the fire marshal give you that number?
Yeah.
Or?
That seems a bit inflated. Is that like if you took however many square feet the floor is and just used a calculation of the human being occupies approximately this much space? We did get to see the one big one where like the expensive one where they have the championship trophies.
Yeah.
And they were showing how originally that was going to be segmented into four rooms. Mm-hmm. But they decided to go ahead and take those down the walls. But you can see where the lines are on the floor. They had different flooring for each section. But they said, like, those tickets, when you're in there, everything's all-inclusive. The food. And they're like, what's on the menu? Anything you want. Yes, I would like a ribeye wrapped in a filet, wrapped in bacon. And, where anything you want.
It's stuffed with a cheeseburger, please.
Anyway, we're at the very top. We're coming down the escalator, and like the classes aren't big. I think there was 26 kids total out of the two third grade classes.
Wow!
And then the That's chaperones. Nice. We had one parent, man. He was on the phone the whole time, like he was in the CIA. Had to keep like leaving, and he was the only one that got yelled at by the staff.
Oh,
sir. You do not go any further down that hall. Yeah. But anyway, we're all up at the top of the escalator and about half the kids are down and there's a log jam. I'm like, what's going on? Well, it turns out there's a kid at the top of the escalator who's petrified of going down the escalator.
Oh.
And admittedly, it's steep and long and like off the sides, it's just nothing but a fall to concrete. And he was scared.
Yeah.
And, They ended up finally, like, one of the other moms knew his name and grabbed his hand, and he that kid's mom was there, and they're like, come on, let's go, and they just took him right on it, and down he rode. Not one, dude, this is the first time I've ever been able to tell this story without, like, getting weepy. Not one kid made fun of him. Not That's one. Awesome. And they all, like, clapped for him when he got down. Dude, when I was in school in third grade, it would have been, like, Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. You know?
But it was so sweet, and they genuinely celebrated him, and nobody talked about it from that moment on.
That's awesome. And I want to say, I feel like in a lot of places, that's a big effort. like for teaching kindness to little kids.
Yeah.
Like my kids' school is a public school. And I think Columbus in general, like all the schools have a big thing about kindness, because we have, there's two kids on Max's baseball team and they're all from different schools and they have a really difficult time, like throwing the ball, hitting the ball, like, you know, they're eight, you know, but they just can't quite get it right. But every time they manage to like stick the bat out there and hit the ball a little bit and like get, they all like aggressively cheer for him and like,
that's cool, man.
And like pound him on the back when they come in and stuff.
That's like, cool.
It is. It makes me feel happy every time.
Yeah.
And so do the parents. The parents all really cheer him on too when that happens too. So it's nice to see kindness being spread to where it needs to be spread, you know?
Yeah. So, hey, listen. It's everything else is cool too, but check this out. Mm. I got in the mail the sweetest thing from Hasbro Pulse that I pre-ordered some time ago, and it was Luke Skywalker from the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian. 1 week after my Luke Skywalker from the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian hot toy that came in.
Yeah.
And this is one of the few figures I've bought that are in like the new packaging.
Oh, the angled?
Yeah, the angled where there's just a picture on the front. You don't ever see the figure. It's all artwork.
Oh, no, I haven't had any of those. I have the ones that are angled. I don't have the...
Yeah, so it's just front, no plastic, just art. And I was showing Amanda, I'm like, look at this thing. She said, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. And you open it up, and the presentation... I wish I had filmed myself open it. The presentation is terrible. If you've not bought one of these Black Series figures like that, I mean, listen, I get it. It's efficient. It probably saves them money. It does save the earth, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's just plain cardboard inside. And there's like in the corner, they've got it notched. So like it's bent like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got a little piece that's notched so they can bend it the other way to make like a little little open square. And that's where the figure's there in. They just have it stuck in there, unceremoniously popped in there, wrapped in like paper.
Yeah.
That has like the Star Wars logo on it, just wrapped in paper. Like it's a sandwich.
A fucking deli sandwich.
Deli paper stuck in there. That's it. You can't even see it once you have the box open. I'm like, this is terrible. But boy, oh boy. Is this the best looking figure you've ever seen? No. It looks like somebody made, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those selfie figures. Those were hot on sale for Hasbro Pulse Premium members. And I looked at making one and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, no way, dude. I saw those when they first were announced, and I was like, those are all going to look terrible. You do realize this, right? Those are going to be terrible.
You know what? I think there's only like 6 different heads.
Yeah.
And they vary the shade, and it's up to your imagination to imagine that it looks like
it's you. It's me, guys. Look, it's me.
Yeah.
Like, I have a much wider face than this.
But anyway, yeah, I got this Luke Skywalker, and I mean, it's fine. You know, but that's all it is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, naturally it was $25 and I got it a year after the show was on.
Yeah.
Good job, Star Wars.
Have you gone by and made sure and checked that everything else you had, anything else you had pre-ordered was canceled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I left that one on there on purpose because I wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, Anyhow, speaking of May the 4th, on the holiest of days, much like the people who only go to church on Easter and Sunday, listen, every day Star Wars. If it's far for me and my house, we're going to watch Star Wars.
Sorry.
Yeah. Did you do anything? Did you do anything interesting for May the 4th?
Well, I had a big old plan to play Jedi Survivor during the day of, you know, because I live, you know, vicariously as an unemployed man living off the wife, and I was going to I was gonna say, hey, it's Star Wars Day, I've been wanting to play more of it, I'm gonna stream it today, and I had allotted myself like 9 in the morning to like noon to like play it, and then okay, then I'm gonna be like productive after that and get some shit done. So I log in at 9 o'clock and it says we can't log you in right now. Check your internet connection and try again. Okay. So I look at my internet connection. I'm like, well, it's firing all cylinders. Seems to be firing up other games. So like, okay, well, let me reset it. Let me reset the computer and do all that stuff. Same thing over and over again. The app will not fire, will not launch. I check Twitter as you do. And everybody's like, what the fuck, EA? It's Star Wars Day, you sons of bitches.
How could you?
And
betrayed me for the last time.
And so I just like, you know, I was like, all right, well, I'm already here. I've already decided to play video games. So I started playing some other video games and periodically checking like every half an hour. I'm like, maybe I'll have, you know, I'm like deducting the amount of time I have left to play, you know, and then I'm like, and noon hits and I'm like, this has been happening to me over and over again. And right as I get ready to turn the computer off, I check it one more time and the fucking thing fires up with an update. I was angry. The hate was flowing through me. So I ended up streaming a little bit on Revenge of the Fifth, but coming face to face with a Rancor in World 2. And that's where my stream ended because I had to go get my children. But it was that thing is terrifying, that Rancor.
It's quite scary.
I was not ready for it to pick me up and eat me. I was not ready for that. Did that happen to you when you fought it at all?
Oh, no. I beat it first try.
You know, you say you beat three tries. Don't lie
to me. I'm a liar.
A lot of the people.
Yes, it happened to me. And it was quite sad.
Yeah, for a second, I thought they were going to show it. Because they wait till the last second and then pull Callaway as he gets, you know, eaten. And of course, you know, they have to have the classic Luke Skywalker throw the bone into its mouth trick and all that other stuff. But I got to say, I didn't have any stuttering or performance issues at all until I got to that second world on PC.
I wish we could say the same about this show.
and this co-host.
That was the joke. Thank you.
I know. I was just finishing it for you. So
how do they listen? Let me back this up a little bit. How did they let the servers go down on a game that just came out? And here's the other thing that's crappity crap crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an online game.
No.
There's no multiplayer.
No.
The saves are not saved at EA.
No.
They're saved the same place all your other Xbox saves or whatever platform you play on are saved.
No, it's to make sure that you're not let other people play it. That's what it is. It's such, like, for one, that's like a time-honored tradition, by the way. Like letting your friends play your games, you know what I mean? And I understand it's digital and whatever else, but like, if you're not going to let us have all the freedom of a regular hard copy game, maybe you should just like make it a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. Well, okay. So real quick, I'm sorry. I railroaded your story. Do you need to keep going?
No, I don't.
Okay. So when I was streaming one day, you were in the chat too. Somebody had popped in. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was just some rando who's like, oh, Jedi Survivor. I'm interested in that. And they were saying, how do I share this? My friend and I went in together on a copy. Here's what I do think it will work. Because there's one of the options once you start the game is create a new journey or start a new journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it saves it separately from the other one.
Yeah. Are they both on PC? Is that what he was saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Xbox, you're screwed unless you have that thing that in the same household type deal.
Yeah. But unless you have the people signing in with the same account, but you have two simultaneous games going. You know what I'm saying? Because if you do start a new journey, I don't think it erases your current one.
Hopefully not.
I think now you just have two.
Have you tried it?
No, I'm not going to wreck my current one.
Well, I wouldn't be telling people to do that.
Well, I'm just saying that might be an option. But listen.
You do it, all data erases. Oh, you want a new game? Okay, here we go.
Those people at EA, they've got families to feed, all right?
Uh-huh.
But listen, I've been streaming and I haven't had any performance issues. I did have one thing I've realized. when I have issues with streaming on my computer and it's dropping frames, restart my computer. That's the key. Because if I've had Streamlabs open and streamed from it, I have to restart my computer before it will stream well again. I'm thinking about switching back to OBS.
Yeah, I've not had any real. I've been using OBS Studio because of when I was doing reaction videos to mm-hmm. get the higher quality with some of the plugins they have, and which you can't use on Streamlabs. And I've really enjoyed it. I've not had any performance issues. I'm not really ever had any major issues with Streamlabs either. And I've also noticed that the whole streaming quality process, standards are a lot better on YouTube than Twitch. I've also mm-hmm. noticed that.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, like with Streamlabs or with Twitch, your bit rate for your mm-hmm. video is topped out at, is it 6 megabits per second or 8?
I think it's 6.
And so at 1080p, honestly, I've thought about switching it to 720 because it would look sharper in the grand scheme of things.
Well, a lot of bigger streamers I've noticed will use 960.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I've been streaming Jedi Survivor, and let me just tell you something. I really enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Everything that was good about the first Jedi, Fallen Order, is better in this one. Mm-hmm. Like, the finishes are super rad. They're automatic. There's no, like, secret combos you have to know. It's just once the kill comes in, he'll do some crazy flourishing thing.
Yeah.
The battle droids, I love them. I will never get tired of hearing Matthew Wood doing his stupid...
Oh, no. One laser sword against all these blasters. Who would be crazy enough to do that?
Just all those stupid things. It's really good. And now, when I've been streaming, I've had several of our friends pop in and encourage me and make fun of me. And then go over to Randy's stream and make fun of the fact that I was struggling. Thanks. He told on you.
Yeah.
Jerks. But I name all of my streams. So after the first day, it was just Jedi Survivor Day 1, Jedi Survivor Day 1 Part 2, figuring out Jedi Survivor. And then after that, I've had this theme going. Because, you know, the band Survivor was this big 80s band. Mm-hmm. And I was always making the joke about how the next one will be Jedi Foreigner and Jedi Journey. So here have been my stream Jedi titles.
Scorpion.
And they, well, it's got to be a little more
I know
similar. But yeah. So here's... Here's what I've got so far. Eye of the Tiger or some other stupid Survivor joke. With a Burning Heart or mm-hmm. some other stupid Survivor joke. Songs from the Rocky IV soundtrack or some other stupid Survivor joke. High on You or some other stupid Survivor joke. I thought that song was by Foreigner or some other stupid Survivor joke. And I can't hold back. Or some other stupid Survivor joke. I'm pretty proud of that. Is it stupid? Absolutely. I'm not going to pretend it's not, but boy, has it been fun. The animations are great. It's all, like we said before, it's all the next gen console.
Yeah.
Only. And PC. That's it. You can't play it on the PS4. You can't play it on Xbox One or One X. And it's quite good. The soundtrack, interestingly enough, there's two soundtracks for it.
Mm.
There's the soundtrack itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the diegetic music, which if for everybody who knows how much I love soundtrack music and the soundtrack show, I learned this from David Collins. Which, by the way, I cannot believe he didn't reply to my tweet that I tagged him in. But anyway, yeah, they have two. And our good friend King Tom tipped me off to that. And I think that's really neat, man, that the music in it's very good. All right.
I agree.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. You've got Star Wars Jedi Survivor original video game soundtrack. And then you also have Sounds from the Galactic Skylanes, original music from Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and that's stuff that you can hear in the characters here in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's the one. It is, which that's neat, man. I'm glad that they did that, but
anyway. It kind of feels like Jedi Fallen Order Jedi Survivor series is like helping keep Star Wars gaming alive. Just because of how good it is and how there's been very little fuss about it besides a couple little stuttering performance issues.
Right.
But like everybody, but they've been making patches and it's been better and you just get off performance mode and go over to the quality mode instead and everything's better. But the gameplay is excellent and just all of the tiny little details about it are so much better. The creatures are like, I know some people were like all upset because you gotta like as a Jedi kill a bunch of creatures or whatever, but like I don't know, man, I just sometimes you just gotta murder some beasties, you know what I mean?
It's kill or be killed kind of thing. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I mean like it's not like cows like seeking him out, like they're like he like walks by and they're like, hey, you want to fight? He's like, I'm gonna kill you
and he's like, oh yeah, well I'm gonna kill you, and then they're like, oh yeah.
I'm gonna kill you 12 times and you keep magically coming back and then you finally kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That same animal's like, what the I just killed you.
Yeah. So speaking of that, there was a creature that spawn of Ogdo or whatever it is from the first game. Yeah. And it's in there in this
thing. Doggo spelled with another way. Yeah. It looks like it to me anyways.
Then so you get in there and it was rough, man. I spent probably close to 3 hours fighting this thing and getting very mad. And I've really, really been trying to not curse so much.
Yeah.
I really have. And, part of it, here's the deal. I have pastor in my job description. I mean, it's literally part of my job title, right?
Mm-hmm,
my
mm-hmm.
business cards say pastor on it. I need to be better. I do. It's just, I do. And so that was like just getting clean and then going and hanging out at the bar. Because it was very difficult. And what's that?
Don't worry. Whenever I make your death compilation, I'll make sure to add beeps.
I went back and watched it a little bit and would see myself just make this face and just go off screen. I'm just my head was going to explode. And once I finally beat it, I laughed and laughed and laughed.
Maniacally?
Not maniacally, celebratory. Okay, there's a difference. But anyway, it's really cool, man. Definitely give it a try. If you've got one of the newer game consoles, give it a go. I mean, it right now it's expensive. And, you know, unfortunately, it would have been nice if it came out like 2 months before May 4th, because then it would have been on sale on May 4th. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's a AAA title. They're not giving it away.
Eventually it'll be on Game Pass.
Eventually, yeah. It'll be on EA Play.
Yeah.
Because not all tiers of Game Pass get that.
Yeah.
It's only Game Pass Ultimate, I think.
I always forget there's different tiers because I've always just purchased the Ultimate one.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, speaking of friends coming in, man, our buddy Andy Bell, he told me, he's like, man, I went back and watched you finally beat that thing and was so happy for you. He's like, it was really great. That's very sweet, man.
Yeah.
But
it's a good egg, that Andy Bell.
Yeah. So let's talk about, while we're on the video game subject, let's talk about Fortnite and the Star Wars stuff that they added.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple days before, because most of those video games, they'll update on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we've decided as a society that that's when albums come out and that's when you update stuff, but Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the Fortnite Star Wars update came out and they introduced several new skins. If you're not familiar with, if you're not a big video game person, When we say skin, it's like it's your digital avatar. It's kind of like Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Where you can change your skin and it's everybody has the same abilities. It's just the visual is different.
Yeah. It's like action figures is what it is.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So right now I'm Padme with the ribbed shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's something about her walking with the lightsaber and just cutting up a fool that's pretty great. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that kind of renewed my interest in the game and I've been playing it just to get the stuff.
Yeah.
How much time have you been putting into it?
Max, of course, is a little bit ahead of me because he played a few matches without me because he's a betrayer. I think I'm on the fourth section, maybe fifth section of that thing. It takes forever, especially if you can't sustain your life long enough within a realm because I'll tell you what, because Max and I played it the first day it came out. And that first day was chaos, murder, death, kill, everybody going to the exact same locations, like, you know, to go to those little huts.
Checkpoints.
Yes.
Yeah. There's three.
Three. And then they've since made more, I think, on the
update. Oh, have they?
Yeah. So, well, there's the clone checkpoint, but it was originally just go to these locations to get that. And now it's the clone checkpoints.
Oh,
but,
gotcha.
Yeah. So now there's more huts to go be able to get like your blaster and stuff.
There's just no clones walking around all of them.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so anyways, when the first day, you would all fly into like those three locations and everybody on the map was trying to get there first. So you would go in. Max and I going in there. There'd be like 12 teams landing in the same spot. And whoever gets the blaster wins because everybody else is like, oh, shit, no.
Yeah.
and run
and, if somebody gets it.
And Max and I have not seemed to figure out how all these people manage to land so fast in these things. I don't get what they're doing different than me, but I can never land as fast as they do. I even when I aim straight down and don't do anything until I don't pull the umbrella till it makes me do it.
Mm-hmm.
He and I are on a really like we're both dead set on getting Darth Maul. Like it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You know, see a couple of Darth Mauls, the Cruiser Boys murdering people with Darth Maul. And we both have the Filoni clone trooper now. the wolf pack one or whatever. And but even though the Crimson Trooper is way cooler, general. That's why my favorite clone trooper is the red ones. I think they look really cool. What was it called? Is it the Crimson Trooper? The Crimson.
Dude, I don't know. I haven't gotten very far in it.
How many tiles have you unlocked? Like two.
However many you get, because I've gotten almost all of the challenges.
Yeah. I have like two or three challenges I've not completed. I'm like on the fifth one.
Yeah.
But they're really making you work for it. It's like, hey, look, we paid $1,000. We should be able to like boost it up a little bit.
Oh, so what I'm going to do is wait to see how far I get. Because if I fail to get all the way there, I haven't paid the extra yet.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the battle pass. If you unlock it on the last day.
Yeah.
As long as you've earned that XP across here, you get all the stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking it would happen faster, you know, thinking it would like you do all those challenges and then it would unlock it. Not you go do all these challenges and then next day and then a few days later, here's more challenges. I'm like, dude, like I get it. Like, I know you want people to keep playing, but why make us pay for it if you're going to make us keep playing? Like, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give us. Listen, let me just pay for it.
Yeah.
Let me pay for it without playing it.
You put Darth Maul in the store. I'm buying him.
Yeah.
The plain and simple. Who doesn't want Darth Maul in Fortnite? That is tight.
Yeah. So the thing is, man, like getting back in there, a lot of people want this stuff. And so it's like easier to rack up kills because you got a lot of people who don't, who aren't real into it. Now, here's something I discovered for the network nerds. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I got a low bandwidth warning one time when I was right next to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was them, not me. It's because it's not. It's
it was, kind it was of, warning you of them?
No. What happens is it's not 100% you to server based. Because it's like Red Dead Online is all peer-to-peer. And so if you get around somebody with potato internet, suddenly you start having a bad time because it's not passing data between you and them correctly. Because that person just got stuck in an animation and I couldn't move.
Oh, man.
And then finally I could and they couldn't. And I just mopped the floor with them. But that's what happens. And I didn't realize that because I'm like, there is no way that I have a bandwidth problem right now. And it wasn't me. So yeah, how interesting. Now, if I'm completely wrong on that, that's just anecdotal data. But I will say that's what a lot of online gaming is doing. Red Dead Online is peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
So
I tell you what, though, I have realized with the me and Max playing and streaming, with my current data, I don't think it's possible to cleanly stream and play. Max and I both play Fortnite because we're playing on two separate systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we have 40 megabit up, which isn't terrible for cable internet, but
that's very good for cable.
But. Yeah. But it's still just like if I stream at 720, it's not terrible. But even then I can just I'll take my phone off of the Wi-Fi and I'll watch it from my, you know, using that, and it can, and I have 5G around here, so it's no big deal to stream 720, and I can just see it struggle. I'm like, maybe it's just because I'm in my basement on my cell phone, and then I'll go back and watch it, and no, it wasn't my cell phone.
In theory, this is also for, because I deal with video streaming as part of my job. In theory, you should have plenty of, that should work fine. But the thing is, you don't have 40 megabits per second of constant, solid, bulletproof upstream speed. So a company has come in and put fiber in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's not ready for install yet.
Yeah.
But it's close.
Yeah.
I'm quite tempted to pull the trigger and go with 1 gig synchronous.
Mm-hmm.
Just to improve my gaming experience and improve my, you know, just overall household experience as far as my internet work goes. But from, at least as of right now, there's no good introductory offer.
Oh.
With AT&T, when you signed up, you got 1 gig up and down, which that's what synchronous means if anybody doesn't know. 1 gig synchronous plus HBO Max. And the hardware included for whatever the price was, $70 for the first year, and then it goes up to 90, right? Oh, this is 90 out the gate with nothing extra, and $10 a month if you want to lease the modem or you can go buy your own.
Yeah. I think I told you that this company that's putting fiber in our town offers 10 gigabit synchronous, which is nuts. Like obviously meant for major businesses, right? but even then they'd be like, oh my God, is this necessary? but they offer it to residentials. Like that is like, are you telling me you want me to be a media server? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because
yeah, that's quite a lot.
that's literally gigabytes per second, like actually gigabytes per second.
I don't know what you would do.
I don't either.
With that, unless you're literally like, hey, I illegally download lots of things that I want to share with other people.
Immediately to lots of people.
Yeah.
Obviously most systems can't even process that right now. Like the input into the machines, you know what I mean? Like isn't like the latest and greatest, like what, like 3 gigabits per second or something, 3.5 or something like that.
Like, I don't know.
But I think my brand new computer can handle 3 gigabit like input. And I thought that was incredibly unnecessary. Now you're and so, I think their introductory offer for the first year is like $70 for 2 gigabit synchronous, and then after that it goes to 90.
for 2 years.
And there's no contracts.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It's like when we're talking about these speeds, the difference between 1 gig and 2 gig for you ultimately doesn't matter one single bit. There's just something about knowing that you got it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, there will never be a day that I'm going to use 1 gigabit per second of data up or down. Because then you'd have it. But listen, let's get back to how this pertains to what we're talking about. If you want to have an excellent gaming experience and you're a content creator and you want to stream and you want to do all that, listen, fast, resilient internet is important. I can't stress this enough for all you tech nerds out there. Do not get a combo modem/router.
Never.
Don't.
They are trash.
They should be separate no matter what. That was my one downfall with AT&T is that the hardware they give you is a combo. And you are not allowed to get into the inner workings of it and change it to router only mode or modem only mode. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I had to run a hard line upstairs because that Wi-Fi coverage wasn't good enough. But anyway, if you do any of that stuff, it's definitely a consideration, man. Especially like with us, we've got between me, my wife, the kids, the two Xboxes, the tablets, the TVs, the everything. It all relies on bandwidth. Yeah. So, yeah. I think
to be fair, most of them aren't using much upload speed.
No.
You know?
Yeah. No. But, I mean, Amanda has her OnlyFans, but...
Well, that's keeping you guys afloat. So, don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. I'm an only subscriber, so it's really kind of weird. We're really digging a hole with that one. So anyhow,
you don't know about her feet only fan she's not told you about.
I'd sign up for that day one. You know how I roll, man. All right, listen. While we're still talking about May the 4th stuff, let's talk about some other May the 4th stuff.
Yeah.
So Empire, not The Empire, but Empire Magazine. They had conversations with like Kathleen Kennedy and Favreau and Filoni and the Andor showrunner, Tony Gilroy. And one of the things that Gilroy had to say about season 2 of Andor, which is the final season of Andor, that the last 3 episodes deal with the last 3 days before the start of the movie Rogue One.
Wow.
So that's pretty neat.
I also was reading today that they start 4 years after where we leave him in season 1.
So that's cool.
So he's that's what Diego Luna was saying somewhere, and that it's like he's already become that person that you trust with the missions. So like they're not going to show us, I guess, like that whole earning the trust process because like they probably don't have time. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's assumed. It's assumed now.
So, I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to that show, man. I very much love it.
I think it
is quite good.
Yeah. It completely blew my incredibly limited expectations for it. Like I don't know what it is. I think I was like, not super hyped about another like downtrodden like Star Wars story like Rogue One, you know? And like I wasn't quite sure how I felt about Tony Gilroy coming on board again and doing it, especially after what happened with Gareth Edwards and everything.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
But I think Tony Gilroy has shown, and I know he was, you know, he's a showrunner, but he's doing stuff, but he's not doing as much as we probably think he is. You know what I mean? He's overseeing everything. He's like George Lucas in it, right?
Right.
But he still seems to be ultimately responsible for it. But I think he's shown that he was the reason why Rogue One was probably a success. Even though I still want to see that Gareth Edwards cut.
Oh, I would love to, man. Yeah. I, you know, when you think about just some of the iconic scenes from the trailer, where they're going down the beach, partially in the water, guns drawn, you know, advancing slow, and Mendo and his cape dragging, and I want to see what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, but it is what it is, man. You know, and Rogue One is what it became, and it, and he did a good job salvaging whatever there was, right? And it helped that he had probably one of the best assembled cast in any Star Wars movie ever.
Oh, yeah. Acting is top notch in that.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie, man.
Yeah. I like to go back and watch it again. It's been a while, but I just always feel bad because I always fall asleep.
It's hard not to. Dude, I have a hard time staying awake, just period. I fell asleep on the couch tonight. Speaking of falling asleep, watching TV, Star Wars Visions came out. And listen, this is nothing against Visions. It just, I was watching it. Henry and I were hanging out. I was tired. And I kept nodding off. And we made it through 4 episodes, but I really only saw 2. The first 2. Sith, and then whatever the second one was. I can't remember. But here's my deal, man.
Yeah.
I like those shows.
Yeah.
I like that they take chances. I like that they do all this stuff. Some of it, there's not a ton of rewatchability in it for me. Mm-hmm. I'll see it the one time and I'll be like, that's good. Neat. We did it. And then I'll move on.
Yeah.
And I that's not a, like I said, that is not a, what am I trying to say here? It's not an indictment on the quality of the show.
No.
It's an indictment on the fact that I'm old and sleepy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everything looks good so far. It's...
That's what it is. It ultimately, what it feels like is eye candy, right? It's these... And I'm not trying to hate on the stories, whatever, but the truth is they don't really have time to develop a real lasting story. And then there's no hope of, most of the time, not, there's not been any real hope of continuing said stories. So you watch it and you go, oh, well, that was cool. It'd be cool if they were to explain more and like we have time to be able to, you know, make this. Why not make this from here a series, you know, and expand upon that. And then maybe they will, and they're like, but they'll probably make a typical Disney decision, like, well, there's not been enough interest. Like, well, you can only expect people to be so interested over a 15-minute episode of something with no hopes of seeing more of it.
Right.
So it's, I'm glad that these things exist because it gives these studios, I'm guessing some of them are independent and whatever, a chance to really showcase their talents and their own vision for Star Wars, you know, and I'm glad that they kind of get a key. It gets to stay all like ambiguous and you have no idea what, like, when it is or whatever, you know, like where it falls in the thing or if it, and I know they're all technically not canon, but they could be, you know, just in a different part of this ginormous galaxy, you know, and there's a lot of cool things that happen, a lot of cool visuals. The first episode, Sith, with like all the paint elements and things, was a very, very artistic episode. And I wasn't expecting it to be so artistic, like literally, like literally about art.
Right.
And then also this woman, her droid was super cool. Once again, we've come to realize over and over again that droids are one of the best parts about Star Wars, just over and over again, all the different designs they're able to come up with, the personalities they're able to develop. And everybody really drives home. Like anybody who you look at what Favreau and Filoni have done with like droids and everything else with in the newer stuff and what they did with and what JJ and all those guys did with BB-8 and It's easy to forget about little BB-8 now with how much time has passed since we've seen him last. But they really have, and also with all the extra materials out there, they've really been driving home the fact that these droids are sentient, like caring things.
Right? Yeah, they're people.
Yeah,
and so they're a life form.
I start to feel, it makes me feel worse and worse every time something happens to him, you know, like we always, whenever, you know, R2-D2 gets like basically blown up multiple times, like we always like, oh no, not R2, you know, and you know, when well, some of us, not all of us steal Saunders in The Mandalorian, when R5-D4 has all of his scared moments, but still ultimately, you know, does his job or whatever, and also rats people out, you know. You know, you develop a connection with them beyond what you thought you would initially. And that's one of the best things about Star Wars, is their ability to make you care about like what should be inanimate objects. You know what I mean? And they really make you care for these guys. And that little droid that was with that painter Sith lady was awesome. And when he pulled out his cannon out of his face at the end and belted that one dude's face, I was like, well, that is very cool.
You know, in preparation for this, I went back and watched a few of the chapter one of Visions, if you will. They're not calling them seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, rewatching the duel, the very first one where you get to see the Ronin do that long draw of the saber katana and just that ignition sound, which, by the way, I instantly bought the saber sound font that has that.
Why is that not a series? It has to be in development, right? Somebody has to be doing something with that, because it's just too cool of a concept to just let it die.
One would think. Yeah. You know, One would think.
And then but one would get in trouble for thinking.
What do I know? You know, my favorite one out of that still of the first one is The Ninth Jedi.
Yeah, it's pretty good too.
And none of these are a continuation of that, correct?
Not to my knowledge. Yeah. I hadn't been able to watch any of them until tonight. And I was like, well, I want to at least watch a couple of them so I could have something to talk about. And I watched the first one and I started to watch the third one. And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at the thumbnails to see which like art style I like the most to give it a try. Mm-hmm. And I watched the fifth one. And, you know, not big a surprise. They're both about like, you know, dealing with the dark side and Sith and lightsabers and whatever else. And I couldn't tell you the main premise of the second one I watched, but once again, artistically super cool, but it's so hard for me to engage with it because I know it's over. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Like it's hard to fully keep my attention on it. I'm also old as well, so
yeah. Well, listen, old and I feel sleepy. You. I totally feel you. Well, while we're talking about Star Wars animation, there's another Star Wars animated show out, and it's called Young Jedi Adventures. It's quite cute. Now, listen. Yeah. Here's the deal: it's a kid show, and when I say kids, I'm talking like Puppy Dog Pals and that age range. Now, the stories are cute. The voice acting is very good. The art style is really neat. The designs of everything look really rad. I like it. And we're watching it for a special project. But if you have little kids, it's a cool one to watch. And the lessons they learn are really good. And like one of the things they do, and listen, if this is too woke for you, I'm tired of hearing about how, you know, Disney's woke and they're trying to push this agenda on people. Stop it.
You stop right now.
You know, the thing is, the people who get frustrated about this are literally the people who see themselves in every piece of media they consume. And they can't comprehend what it's like for other people who never see themselves.
Yeah.
But like one of the characters is this little girl, and she's a pilot, quite a good pilot, who she's a kid, but she gets to fly around all by herself and do shipping runs and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Seems Kitcha. Moderately irresponsible. But she has red hair, and all of her stuff is named the Crimson something.
Nice.
Like her ship is the Crimson Firehawk or something, and her actual like boat that they made for this race, this regatta, was called the Crimson Bolt. So everything's red. She has two moms.
Yeah,
just real cool. Hey, hi mom, hi mama.
Yeah,
they're like, we're so proud of you.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, but they, you know, they're not beating you over the head with it. She just, this kid's got two moms.
Just listen, family, man.
You can hate it all you want. It's just part of reality.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It is.
And yeah. If you can't accept that these kinds of things are happening, you just got to also accept that you're going to be left behind in the past.
That's yeah.
kind of how it works.
Yeah. But anyhow, listen, it's all about, never mind. That's not what this play. This isn't what we're going to talk about. But anyway, I would definitely consider giving it a watch, especially if you have little kids.
Yeah, my buddy actually hit me up about it, who has two little girls. Like, you know, I think they're like 4 and 2, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 and 2, 3 and 1. And he said, my little girls have been loving this show. He was talking about it. He goes, have you watched it? I said, no. He goes, is it canon? I said, I'm pretty sure it's not, but I don't really know for sure. He was like, well, it doesn't really matter, but my kids love it, and that makes me happy that mm-hmm. my little girls are finding a little access point into something that I really like.
Now, one thing I like about it, and this is a small thing, but I think it's cool, is that the voice acting I really enjoy, and the Yoda's voice. So Yoda's in there, and he'll tell the young Padawan some sort of lesson, and then they spend the episode learning that lesson proper, right?
Yeah.
And it's one of the things I got frustrated with in the Clone Wars, and mind you, I like the Clone Wars. Please don't take it that I don't like the Clone Wars because I like the Clone Wars. All right.
I like it.
They overdid Yoda's dialogue being verb first, then subject.
Yeah. Backwards.
Compared to what it was like in Empire. When we meet Yoda and Jedi.
Yeah, but that stems from the prequels, though.
Yeah, but even still, it didn't seem quite as dramatic in the prequels as it did in the Clone Wars cartoons.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've the way it is in this thing, first of all, his voice is very close to how he sounds in Empire. And the actor's name is Peter Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good. And they've also, you know, they keep his speech patterns, but not every single sentence is verb yeah. subject. So it's pretty neat.
For thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, because I'm pretty sure it's been a while since I went back and watched The Last Jedi as well. But didn't Ryan like really try to emulate Empire Yoda, then they use like the actual like the original molds or something from the puppets,
I think
something
so.
Like that. And obviously it was Frank Oz, but he really wanted to make sure it was Empire Yoda in Last Jedi because you know he's the perfect age for that to have a lasting impact on a little boy. You know what right. I mean? So I think he was just like, I want to have that moment for this generation. And he probably didn't want I don't think he hated the prequels or anything, but I think he just kind of wanted to have the continuation be that way. And that I remember that being one of people's favorite things about Last Jedi was how they treated Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
he was quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool to see Mark Hamill see Yoda.
Yeah.
And hear Frank Oz for the first time. It impacted him in the same way that it impacted us, I think.
Dude, that documentary will continue to be one of the best things that we were given during the whole sequel trilogy mm-hmm. was the behind the scenes making of The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me love the movie even more, mm-hmm. seeing all of the behind the scene work that went into it and even how Ryan like tried to comfort Mark in his objection to what his character should be and like when is in his final scene and all that stuff like that. And if you spend any time on like YouTube shorts, if you ever watch Star Wars stuff, people love to circulate the quotes from interviews from Mark Hamill, like how much he hated like what they did with his character and yada, yada, yada. But I always go back to that documentary scene where Ryan actually like got there and comforted him and like, you know, they talked about and where Ryan and a lot of where those interviews come from is from that documentary where Mark says that, but then he clarifies, but you know, this is this and this and this and this. These are these reasons. This is why we have to do this. This is, it makes sense to me. This is Ryan's story. This is, you know, my character can't go on forever. And, you know, well, all that stuff like that, you know? Well, and yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, even at Celebration, Star Wars Celebration during the Last Jedi panel, which I remember being just blind tired when I went into that because that was day two.
Yeah.
He talked about it and he came out on stage and said, when this first came up, I was fundamentally opposed to every single thing that you were doing with my character. But, and this is the part that people never want to go to when they're complaining about it. But once I like came to terms with it and understood it, I'm like, show me the ways, oh guru.
Yeah.
That's the words he used. And but anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So is there any other Star Wars stuff?
I mean, I'm sure there is. But I you know, I mean, the main thing for me right now is Jedi Survivor. And I'm excited to get back into it. I need to find some more time to do that. Yeah. But
yeah, same. So I went and saw a movie that takes place in space. And it was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Okay, what's your impression?
This will be my spoiler-free review of the movie, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's quite good.
Oh. Glad to hear it.
If John Ralphio Saperstein were here, he'd say, I hope you brought a change of clothes. Because your eyes are going to piss tears.
I'm glad you really like it. Because I don't know. Did you get a chance to talk to the old Tom Chansky about it
yet?
When we recorded an episode of the Seismic Chargers, which should be out before this episode is out. And he gave it, I mean, for a Tom Chansky, which he's pretty positive about everything Star Wars, Marvel. But I would have to say a pretty middling review of it. I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear you liked it quite a bit. But I know you're a huge Guardians fan, but so is he. He said it's probably his, you know, he goes, it's not, everything wasn't for me. He goes, he was saying that it seemed to be that like James like really went for it with action, like excessively with action scenes and stuff.
I do have one complaint, and this is about every Guardians movie.
Yeah.
Honestly. And quite frankly, some of the Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
When the action is 95% CGI.
Yeah.
They cram so much movement on the screen at one time that it can be difficult to discern what's going on at any given spot. It takes multiple views with the intentional focus on pockets of the screen. To see what's going on because it's just too much movement. It becomes very fast speed animated because not only are the elements that you're seeing fantastical, the speed at which they move is also stops being rooted in reality. They don't have natural physics limiting what they can do with it. And so that can take away from the experience, but there are many a thing that I like about this. There are some scenes that are very hard to watch.
I bet, yeah.
We took Henry and Stella wasn't with us. And he did well with it. But this isn't a spoiler. It focuses heavily on Rocket.
Yeah.
And flashbacks to his origins.
Yeah, it's in the trailers a lot.
Well, there's a lot of cruelty involved.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of cruelty to animals involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite hard. Difficult.
Yeah, especially to love watch. Animals. Yeah.
You know, and there's a certain... none of that. That's a conversation for another day. But it's difficult. It is difficult to watch. But I really did like it. I liked what they did with the characters. I liked that... I'm trying to think of what to say without giving anything away.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have seen it.
No, you're fine. So let me put it this way. I was pleased with the ending. And I liked that every last thing for every character didn't work out wrapped up in a shiny package and bow. Mm-hmm. There was a realism to it mm-hmm. that I appreciated, because it's very easy to just check all these boxes and have every last hope and dream of every character come true at the end and all of that. Mm-hmm. But they handled the story of the characters very well. And that was, there was a lot of action, but it was very much the story of the individuals.
Yeah.
And the main focus, it just, it was great. I was so happy we went now.
Yeah.
I went and saw it at the theater, you know, closest to my house, which was not the cool, big, awesome one in Edwardsville that we were at. It was the, it's a good theater, you know, it's new and everything. And they have the reclining seats and all that, and it's great, but it's not IMAX. It's not Dolby, but we were close to the front so that it was big. Right. And even mm-hmm. though you're close to the front, like the way you're leaned back, you're not straining.
You're not like,
to see. Yeah. There was this kid. So there's two aisles in this, or there's one aisle in this thing. On one side is four seats, and on the other side is like 12 seats,
mm-hmm.
right? There's this kid. We're on the four-seat side, so we're, you know, in the left third mm-hmm. of the screen. And there's this kid, like, one row ahead across the aisle. He got up no fewer than 10 times. And I'm like, I'm going to murder you to death. And not only did he get up and walk up the stairs, but he also, like, got... and would, like, in the aisle that he was in, talking to his dad, and then somebody dropped something. And I'm like, sit down, Billy. But,
and with the dad did nothing about it?
No.
Dude, if my kid so much as whispered, like, you better shut your mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's like, listen, here's the deal. If my kids are rude or standoffish to our friends, like our adult friends, I am not having that.
Yeah.
My kids are not going to be dicks to my friends or my coworkers or anything. And I mean, there's a difference between being shy and being a butthole. Mm-hmm. I'm not tolerating it. Yeah. And I'm not going to tolerate them wrecking somebody else's experience in a movie theater either.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But, now, something did happen, and this is a theater thing. I love the tilt-back seats. I love the size of the aisles. I love all of that. Mm-hmm. And the cost of this theater is not bad, man. Like, the adult tickets were 12, 13 mm-hmm. bucks, and the kid ticket was 10,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Big, cushy seats, reclining the whole bit. You know, the reserved seats, that's the only way to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these people come in, and there's people in their row, in their seats. And the mom who says, I don't want to make them all get up. We'll just sit in the row behind them. And I wanted to tell them, but then those people will come and you'll be in their seats. And this will happen once the lights are out and everybody's trying to watch the movie. You're ruining it.
Yeah.
Luckily, that didn't happen, but I'm telling you right now, when I go to the theater and it's reserved seats and I've got my seats, I'm sitting in them.
Yeah, you're getting up.
The end. We live in a society, people.
Yeah.
When I would go to the IMAX theater at the AMC in Edwardsville, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
I knew the row and the two seats that were the best. And I know I told this story, but I took my wife to go see, it was either The Last Jedi or... I don't think it was Force Awakens, because I think she only went to see each one of them once
mm-hmm.
with me. But I got in advance the seats in the mm-hmm. theater. Perfect height where your head does not have to look up or down and you're in the dead middle.
Mm-hmm.
We get in there, it's not crowded at all. And there's two dickheads in our seats. And I went straight to them and I said, hey man, you're in my seats. And they're like, but do you really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. But here's the deal. I bought them in advance because they're the best seats. And how do I know? Because you're in them too. You know it too. Shoo, shoo, shoo. It didn't get heated, but I'm like, you know, we were all being nice, but we were all pissed at each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm sitting in these seats. So they sat right behind me.
Yeah.
And then talked during the movie.
Yeah.
They're not alive anymore.
I was going to say, and you let that slide.
Those two things might be completely unrelated. They're not. Yeah.
But no, anyway. I mean, I had a similar situation at a concert more than once, honestly. But the most recent one was at a Coheed and Cambria concert. And there was, it's kind of like a up in the air situation. But basically, there was this rule that we had, there was like the pit, like up front. And then there was all seating behind it. And we got the first row of the seating, right?
Uh-huh.
But there was like an unwritten rule, kind of like guideline, but was following that if you have a seat up there and you stand up, you can also go right behind the pit. There's a railing and you can like, and that's like your spot on the railing, right? That's like, that's you paid for that area.
That pocket. Right? That's yours. Yes.
And when we came back, like the openers or whatever that we weren't there to see, we didn't give a shit. I mean, one was like the Used. There was like a big like old emo band, and like it just feels weird to hear like 45-year-old men singing their teenage songs. But and I don't mean like Foreigner come back and sing their classics. I mean like clearly meant to be like for angsty teenager songs, and it's just weird. But Coheed and Cambria came on, which we came there to see, and there was these two dudes who were not there at first in the first show, but they decided that they were gonna stand like right in front of us against this rail, and I was like, and I saw when Rachel and I went and got some drinks during intermission and came back, and we sat there for a minute before the show started. I was like, if these dudes don't get a move when Coheed and Cambria comes up, you're going to see me let them know that they are not going to be standing there. Rachel goes, okay, just don't get in a fight. Coheed came out and I said, hey, you're in our spot. And they were like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, dude, you are directly in our spot. And they're like, no, we're not. I'm like, you see these seats that are right here? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, that space you're in is my space. They're like, well, I thought you could just stand here. I'm like, no, no, no. If you could just stand here, then everybody would just be standing here. Uh-huh. There's a reason. You gotta go. And it was like two like 19, 20-year-olds. And they and then, you know, I had big dad energy, and they eventually fucking got the hell out of there. But like, I wasn't having that shit either, dude. I don't deal with crowd surfers and I don't deal with teenagers. They can stand in my spot.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right though. We live in a fucking society and there's a reason why you pay for certain things in certain places because you paid for it. That's your spot. Mm. That's where you're going to be. Otherwise, why pay for anything and just go to places and do whatever fuck you want?
Why pay for an inflated price for better seats, for example?
Yeah.
That's like when I hear people, yeah, listen, just we're going to fight our way onto the floor at this show. Well, that's great, except for these people who actually paid for this experience. Now you're going to wreck it for them.
Yeah.
Buttholes. So one time, this has been when Metallica was on tour for the Black Album. Mm. My friends, Chris and Yoshi and I.
After you got them burning your Black Albums? It's a joke. I'm just saying. I'm just talking about.
We all did. So anyway, I had just seen
them. It was their highest selling album for a fucking reason.
I had just seen them 2 days before in Champaign.
Yeah.
And it was in around. And so I was kind of like behind the stage, which was fine because they, you know, they faced everywhere. But I went to go see them in Evansville, Indiana.
Ooh, Evansville.
And there it's GA.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way the arena is set up. So it's on the floor, there's no seats. And everybody just goes in and crushes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best and experience. So we go tearing down. It's like we are getting on the floor because we know James Hetfield comes off the stage and is going to walk in behind that fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we sit down and because they make you sit on the floor. That's what the security was there because it gets too out of hand before the concert starts. There was no opener. It was just Metallica.
All you need.
And so while we're sitting there, there's these two or three kids right in front of us. And I mean, they were, I don't know, 14, mm-hmm. 13. They looked so teeny tiny. And we were all, you know, 18 years old. And I was like super buff. And my buddy Chris was super buff. And my buddy Yoshi was super buff, man. And I said, real loud. Actually, no, I think Yoshi said this. He started the conversation. He goes, all right, guys, listen, like unnecessarily loud so that they would for sure hear us.
Yeah.
As soon as the lights drop and we all stand up, I'll grab this kid, you grab that kid and just chuck him over your head and we'll move up to the fence. And they sat there and looked at each other and then they got up and left, which was a good call. Because they would have been destroyed. I mean, like, because we had thousands of people just pressing us. You know how when you hear about these people getting killed, that's how it happened. Kids.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, we were right up there in the front. And it was awesome. And James Hetfield jumped off the stage and he was like right there at arm's length from me and he walked the other way. I'm like, oh. And there was this chick that we were like, she was eyeballing us and we were like making fun of her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. We were just being dicks. And she was actually kind of cute now that I look back at it. She had short red hair, which is kind of a thing for me, red hair chicks. And anyway, I had had this t-shirt I had taken off because I was like drenched in sweat. Mm-hmm. And the security guard just take it and like pile it up behind him. They gave it to her. She ended up with it. And I had to, after the show, I said, hey, look, this is very awkward, but can I have my shirt back? She gave it to me. Yeah. She's like, meh. Anyhow, so yeah, that was that.
There it is.
There it is. Went and saw Guardians. It was quite great. I recommend it.
No, I plan on seeing it. It was just, I'm just shocked to hear Tom give a bad review of a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you know? I am surprised.
Yeah. Maybe he'll feel different on a second watch. I think like he said it, he said it's probably in the middle of like the Marvel movies for him. And he said it's his least favorite Guardians movie.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know,
so
it's just Tom Chansky. What's he know?
Anybody who hasn't seen it yet, I will tell you there is a post-credit scene or like an immediate mid-credit scene that's real close to the beginning of the credits. And then there is a post-credit scene like after the very last credit, right before the lights come on. There's a little short thing. It's, listen.
Is either one worth it?
The first one's definitely worth it.
Okay.
The second one, if you like, I had to pee so bad.
Is and like
I
was texting Raj because
I knew he had seen it. And I'm like, is there a post-credit scene? And he didn't get back to me quick enough. So I Googled it and it's like, yeah, there is. So I waited it out. It's cute. And I'm not upset that I stayed. But if you really need to get up and go, just go ahead and go and read about what it was. Okay. That's all I'll say. But I will tell you this, look at the newspaper.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Anyhow. I'm still watching Jack Ryan. Pretty good.
Yeah. We just finished, Rachel and I both are into it, episode 8 of 10 of that show Beef I was telling you about.
Uh-huh.
And the twisty, turny tales of that show, where it starts and where it is at this moment, is crazy. I'm not gonna give you any away because it's all about what happens in it. But like, it is like if you were watched a trailer for it, like the trailer is basically the very beginning of the first episode is what it is, and it's basically starts with a road rage incident, and then it's just the interweaving of their lives after. And I was telling Rachel after, I couldn't remember what the quote was, because it was, and I've since figured it out, but I was trying to figure out what it was. But it's the path to hell is paved with good intentions or something like that.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah. It's a pretty common saying.
Yeah. I couldn't think of what it was. And I'm like, this is basically an adaptation of that thought. It's like a realization of that thought. And it's a thinker. And it's very well done.
What's funny is when you say like it starts with a road rage incident and then the intertwining of their lives.
Yeah.
This is something I used to have to tell people that were on the worship team at my church whenever I was running the worship team, because, you know, you're on stage. Mm-hmm. Everybody sees you. And there's like a certain obligation that goes along with that, a societal obligation, right?
We live in a society.
I said, listen, I guarantee you mm-hmm. that if you get into it with somebody and you're flipping them off at the stoplight and yelling at each other and stuff, they're going to be in the front row of the next service you play at. It's just, it's inevitable. It just happens. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say if you were on the fence about watching that show, definitely watch it. It's crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. But it's like I said before, it's extremely well done, which I'm always, but there's been very few shows that I've watched in a while that actually made me think, you know, about about the impact your actions have on others, you know, and two, how far something so small can grow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Cool. Well, yeah. Neato benito, man. I'm going to have to jump on Hasbro Pulse real quick and pre-order a bunch of figures.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, speaking of which, before we part ways this evening, May the 4th, all of these figures available for pre-sale, for pre-order. And it's like, what happened to getting the thing when you want the thing?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that?
Yeah.
Those days are over.
I tell you who has that shit fucking nailed down, and I know you don't care, but Jordan Brand shoes, all right? Here's why. I've grown quite fond of the classic Jordan shoes, the AJ1s or whatever they're called, and it's because they actually fit my fat ass feet and they're comfortable and they have a bunch of varying colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, if you order those fucking things, you're going to have them in 3 to 4 days.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. Just saying.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
Listen, people, if you want a pair of dual worthy base lit lightsabers, I've got a deal for you. I've got them for sale on Facebook Marketplace right now. They're Kyber lightsabers. You've probably remember seeing their ads whenever they first came. This was from their Kickstarter campaign when they very first started. They're a few years old, barely been used. I originally got them because I wanted them for my kids. But at this age, they'd be perfect for my kids. But when I got them, they were like longer hilts than I expected. The blades are practically indestructible. And like I said, they are intended to duel with. That's their reasoning for existing. But there's these extra pieces that go with it that because it's kind of unique concept. The hilt, you can interchange parts of it, cosmetic parts of it, to customize what it looks like. It's really pretty clever. Color changing, base lit, like I said, meaning there's not a string of pixels in the blade. So you can just wail on them. They claim the blade's indestructible. Each saber, I have a pair. I'd prefer to sell them as a pair. Come with a pair of dueling gloves, but that I've never opened. They're real heavy. Each one has a large Kyberlite branded t-shirt that I've never opened. And they are available for sale, the pair, for $300.
Uh-huh.
That's a deal, man. And now listen, shipping them, because of their length, wouldn't be super cheap, but we could work something out. All right. If you're interested, hit me up. I would love for you to have them. And if you hear about this on the show, $250, I'll give them to you.
Oh.
For the pair. That's a deal.
Shipping not included.
Shipping not included. That's right. But I'll meet you in St. Louis City or somewhere thereabouts if you want to go there.
There you go.
But anyway, guys, listen, I mentioned this up front, but check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Support the show, man. We appreciate it. We love it. And we need it. So there you go. I don't want to be desperate, but
we need your dollars and cents.
Yeah. Follow the show on Twitter. Oh, check out our merch. Follow the show on Twitter, @bad_motivators. Check out our links for YouTube and Twitch for some sweet streaming action. And yeah, man. There's nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye. Bye, the dueling sabers. The bad motivators.
The bad motivators.